It's the JT and Looney Podcast episode.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
140.
I have the copy, as we call it in the business, for Bet Online, but I'm going to toss it out and just talk to you like a human being and not read you copy about Bet Online. It's a great place to go bet on all your favorite sports. They have reviews and news for every league, Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, boxing, the sweet science. You know I love the sweet science. UFC, even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information. In-game betting, they got props and futures. Head to BetOnline as soon as you can. Just wait, not this moment. Wait till the end of the podcast. It'll be about 32 minutes and 32 seconds. And then grab your phone, go to BetOnline. And if you haven't signed up at BetOnline yet, just for being friends with JT and Looney, you get a 50% welcome bonus if you go at the end of this podcast. And you got to use the promo code BELIEVE, as in the Believe Radio Network, BLEAV, that's how they spell it, BLEAV50. Use that promo code, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Now, isn't that better, just talking to you like that instead of reading copy? I think so, anyway. Never sounds like I'm reading copy. I may have been reading copy there, but it never sounds like it because I am a broadcast professional. Bet Online, where the game starts. And now the podcast starts, damn it. The king of the transition. When I send you that Zoom link, you are ready. Bam!
Well, normally, because no one knows when we record these podcasts, right, morning, noon, or night, you know, I like to get my head on right, so I jumped in the pool and I poured myself a little cocktail here.
Wow.
Which is very out of the ordinary for me, because I looked around, I didn't want to have a beer, a beverage. You know, I don't drink on school nights when I'm working, but I went with Bailey's on the Rocks.
Which I was wondering what that was.
Which is way out of line. I was in a chocolate milk mood that we've all been in as kids our life, and I decided to do that because it's hot in Vegas. I wanted something chilled that tasted good, and you decided to go with?
Coffee. I went to coffee, one of my favorite beverages on earth. However, I did have a go-to alcoholic beverage during the pandemic and the lockdown when we all had to stay home and watch Breaking Bad. And that was Bailey's and coffee because I wanted to stay up.
I wanted to get cheating. Your concept was to cheat. You don't like to do that, but you decided it's a pandemic. You'll do
right.
It. And you see, so there's a lot more going into this than you're explaining. Yeah.
Well, part of it, too, is I do have, when you travel internationally, you're not supposed to, you know, arrive in Italy at 10 o'clock in the morning and go to bed, even though you want to. So I've always, when I've gone to big trips, and, you know, you don't want to go to bed. You're on vacation. So I've always liked coffee drinks to give me a little bit of buzz, but also make me wide awake. So that's what I did during the pandemic. One thing I didn't do during the pandemic was gain weight. A lot of people gained weight, and I thought it was an opportunity to lose weight, to get into better shape, because for a lot of people, we had more free time. And that's usually people's excuse for not exercising. Oh, I don't have enough free time. I can't spend all day in the gym like you. And people gained weight. It made no sense to me.
Well, you know, what's fascinating on that topic is I work out now with a bunch of my friends with a trainer. And we do that a few days a week with Rudy's, one of my best friends. So it's more just to get together. But it's 30 minutes nonstop. You get like a minute break twice. It's pretty much 30 minutes,
so good for you.
Like 7-minute warm-up. And then it's an assault on everything. So I've never felt stronger. The problem is if I would have ate perfectly during this last year, I would have been like a bodybuilder in my mind. But because of the pandemic, two radio shows, traveling to Amsterdam, having two sons in the house who eat burritos around the clock, it was never going to work for me. So working out as the glass is half full, keeping everything kind of in the range was good too. But man, unless you do what you do, which is pretty much bodybuild and have a disciplined diet, it's going to be impossible for people during a pandemic to drop a lot of weight. That's what the pandemic does.
Oh, yeah.
It keeps you in the house where you gain weight.
And I've been doing, I did intermittent fasting before it was called that. But you right now, a lot of times my hours for intermittent fasting are either between 3 and 10 or 5 and 10. If I really want to go nuclear, I'd make it between 5 and 10. I try to make it till 5 o'clock. And but that's still rough. That's still rough. But it keeps you lean, because even if you have a pizza between 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock, all that starving keeps you lean. And that is tough for you. The one thing about keeping a disciplined eating plan, as I call it, I never call it a diet, is consistent. If you're moving around a lot, it's tough to keep it consistent. If you're and you've been traveling over the summer trying to get out of the Vegas heat, on top of all your busy schedule, that's what can make it difficult. And changing what you eat for people is very difficult.
You know, being a long-haul trucker on the radio at night, doing these crazy hours, when I used to be in a studio, you could only cheat by either bringing something in, so you bring food in with you before
right.
your shift, and God knows that we work with some of those guys. Wink, wink. Oh, my God. We might have worked with the Mount Rushmore God. Of guys bringing in stuff to eat. Unbelievable. But now, as I go to a break, I could actually walk to my refrigerator.
Right.
That's how, and it's literally steps away from where the studio is. So that's interesting too, because you know a lot
well,
of
especially
guys,
if Mrs. Brick makes the meatloaf that you love so much, or some chicken parm, and it's only steps away.
Let's tell the story about the guys who were across the street when we worked at Fox at the El Pollo Loco and the convenience store next to that.
Or the Whole Foods.
The Whole Foods was a unique story, too, because that's when Whole Foods popped, when it became national, came global.
I became personal friends with Edgar from Whole Foods. That's how often I went to Whole Foods.
But you also became really tight with the guys at the convenience store. The
Sony. Yes. Sony, he had a rock band. He it was interesting. He reminded me of, if you go back in the Hot Tub Time Machine, even before our time, there was a country singer named Mel Tillis. And his top-selling album, and he was a stutterer and stammerer, and his top-selling ever, his top-selling album ever was called M-M-M-M-M-L, right? M-M-M-M-M-E-L. So he owned it, had fun with it. And Sony had a rock band, an Indian rock band, and he was originally from India. And I said, do you, I stammer, and a lot of people don't know that, but you do. And I said, do you stutter when you sing? And he said, never.
Oh.
Which is fascinating, yeah.
That is, you just, yeah, I want to stay on that topic, because you were great with these guys. You know, before a radio show and a long-form radio show, you would work even longer at times if you did a longer shift, if you were anchoring. And you have to kind of pep yourself up to go in. And you're not supposed to drink and have alcohol, obviously, because you're working for a company, which we didn't do. But some people like Mountain Dew. They like Diet Coke.
We went through
like
years with favorites. We had coffee or Diet Dr. Pepper or real Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew. Oh, yeah.
But the point is that you shouldn't be carbo loading in a studio.
Oh.
If you're someone working in our industry, God damn it. Shit, I'm trying to set you up perfectly on this topic. We worked with guys who brought Tupperware bowls full of food, and they'd wash it out in the sink after they were done eating. They'd have their dinner there when they're on their job. Then they're not supposed to have their dinner, they're at work. And then we'd have people who would order in, so all of a sudden a guy would be knocking on the door, there's a couple pizzas there.
Oh, remember, it's California too. We'd be working with people who became vegan. And remember, do you know how to tell if someone's vegan, JT? They tell you. That's how you know when someone's vegan. I'm vegan. I'm vegan. That's how you know a vegan's a vegan. They announce it every 5 minutes. So we worked with a few of those. We also worked with a guy. I won't say his name, but you can probably try to figure out who got really annoyed when other people used to chew and eat while they worked. That guy's name was JT the Brick.
I don't like chewing. I don't like chewing in movies. I don't want to hear people chew. I don't mind in a restaurant. That would drive you nuts because everybody's chewing.
Right.
But it's so loud in restaurants. That's a podcast. It's now gotten to the point where in Vegas we have not only DJs, really good DJs, STK, Cosmopolitan. You go in, your reservation for 6. You got to be there like a half hour early because the place is packed. And you're at the bar and there's a DJ over your steak and dinner there doing that. But
well, there's some moments too early on, because you are a frat brother, a frat president, a team player. You want everyone to get along. And before, you know, as our show evolved, sometimes you wouldn't own it all on the air like Howard did, but that was the altar we prayed to. We always wanted to have everything out on the air, and you would hit what we called the talk back button, and you would talk to the producer or the board. I'm saying, can you tell Looney I can hear him eating?
Only a rare few times, Tom.
Yeah, well, then eventually over the years, we got so comfortable with our friendship, you would say it on the air. Are you eating? You would say it on the air because, yeah, you're not only, a lot of times people say it's better even not to eat before you go on the air. You'll think with more clarity. You'll speak with more clarity. But I ate while we were on the air, while the mics were hot.
Well, you got to eat all the time to keep up with your wild diet. I know. That's another topic. So, you know, there's not many people I know in my life, and I have a lot of my friends. My mom, as I grew up as a kid, brought me into the movie world. My grandmother, movies have been a massive part of my life, and I'm proud of how much I dedicate to the movies. My wife and I, pre-pandemic, went to all the movies. We got screeners when we lived in Sherman Oaks from our neighbor, and we care a lot about it, and we have Netflix now and everything else you could have. So it disappoints me that you're so epic at this, and you saw one of the worst movies of your life.
I always brag about, and everyone's got that friend, and you've been to Napa. You've learned more about wine. I've learned more about wine, but I still love when I'm with somebody who knows far more and can pick a great bottle of wine. I'm a guy who never goes to a bad movie. I was the guy you worked with over all those years when the Oscars came out. And a lot of times it would be independent, artsy-fartsy films no one saw except me. And so I always am very good. But I rolled the dice this past week, and I did have a friend who had an operation, and so he also was on painkillers. So I thought, well, I picked the movie thinking he would like it. And we went to see Bullet Train. And it was one of the – I want my money back for the popcorn. I want my money back for the movie, for the gas. I'm calling a lawyer. That movie was the biggest piece of trash I've ever seen in my life. I thought we would both like it because I love trains. I love traveling. I love adventures. And every once in a while, I like to take a risk, roll the dice, and see Top Gun. Top Gun was not a choice of a movie I would go to, but everyone said it was so good. I like to go to good movies, so I went. I'm going to be a party pooper. I'll join the crowd. But I went to see Bullet Train. And what is wrong with us as a culture? I mean, is a Hollywood reflection of the culture? Are we a reflection of Hollywood? You know, there's always that great debate that you could have around the table. But don't they get it that murder isn't fun, and that it's happening in schools now, and it happens every day, and ooh, there's mass shooting, and body counts aren't comedy. They open up with a body count comedy, directly to camera, breaking the fourth wall. I don't mind that. I don't mind movies taking risks. I'm a guy who puts the quarter turn on the mundane when it comes to talk radio and anchoring and everything else over the years. Put a quarter turn. Spin the bottle. I don't care. But they break the fourth wall, cutesy, opening up about how many kills they had last time on their adventure. Was it 12 or 13? And then they started body counting snarkily. And the entire movie also you tried to mix comedy with murder, with violence, incredible violence.
Well, you're really getting me here. This is a punch. This is like a fight first round. I thought you were coming out. You know, you're going to kind of get in a rhythm here. You're dropping the knockout punch on Bullet Train. First off, you should have went to the movie or thought about it because Brad Pitt is the star. He recently won an Academy Award.
Yeah, I know.
After early in his career being known for like a male model more than an actor,
right,
been in some great movies, he finally breaks through for the Academy Award. So you buy into the fact that maybe Brad Pitt isn't going to give a shit and garbage, and he did.
Right.
He took a massive check and probably did great things with that money. He's a good guy, but he every once in a while, every third or fourth movie for the greats, they have to take in one of those garbage movies. Then I saw the promos for it in this. It looked like a neon train with Brad Pitt and a whole bunch of people jumping by and stuffed animals and lights. And it looked like shit when they were doing the promos. I think they're in the NBA finals going that far back. So why'd you go see it?
Oh, just because I thought, first of all, I thought, wow, my friend just happened to operate. You know, movies are always better on painkillers. So I thought, well, if he's going to split a Vicodin with me, it can't be a bad movie. Oh, my God. What was that stuff that you would have need propofol or whatever that was Michael Jackson was taking? You would have need vodka martinis and a lot more than a painkiller to make this movie good. It was awful. And in general, with show business and Hollywood and American culture, let me stick to that for a second. Isn't Oprah Winfrey one of the owners of Oxygen? Isn't that supposed to be a female-oriented station and network, 24-hour network? It's Murder in the Morning, Homicide for the Holidays. Every holiday they run their murder shows 24 hours. Homicide for the Holidays. Murder as entertainment. And this is just an obscure, cable channel, Oxygen. But, Dateline NBC. Oh, let's not just do it one night. Let's do it three nights.
Yeah, but this is interesting because I love war movies and I expect death in war movies.
Right.
All my favorite movies, Platoon, Born on the 4th of July, Saving Private Ryan.
But I keep telling you not to say that out loud.
I would agree with you on this, and I won't see Bullet Train because it was garbage.
Garbage.
But with everything that's happening, and there's a lot of video game violence with war and guns.
Right.
And there's a lot happening with that in society as we speak. Look at the summer of school shootings and all that. You're saying they marketed a movie about murder and tried to make it a comedy?
Oh, constant snarky punchlines all the way through. All the way through. And then people you think they're dead, and then they come back. And long fight scenes. One thing, you and I both have attention span issues. One thing I think Hollywood has always overdone that bores me to death. I am bored to death by a fight scene that lasts more than 30 seconds. And so I'm bored to death a lot, obviously, because fight scenes always go on way too long in Hollywood movies. Way too long. And you know what the outcome's going to be anyway. The guy you like is going to win. And so it's got long, drawn-out fight scenes, murder as comedy. It's just awful.
Hi, this is Pam Oliver, and you're listening to JT and the Brick.
The dream of every podcast is to have something live happen while you're recording. So we will be the first, and our podcast bosses will love this, on the breaking news that LeBron James got one of the greatest short-term extensions in sports history. ESPN AG Ward Janowski, Lakers star LeBron James, agreeing on a two-year, $97.1 million extension. 2 years, $97.1, making him the highest earner in NBA history. He surpassed Durant. So but as we get to the drama king, I won't call him a drama queen, that he's a guy. The drama king, Durant, he was leading LeBron in career earnings, and now he doesn't want to play.
It's the JT and Looney podcast. And, think about it over the years, too. He has been one of the most successful athletes ever of any race, creed, color, orientation to become so famous when he was a teenager, which also makes that list very narrow, and keep his nose clean. Never been arrested, never got in trouble, never a hint of scandal. The hint of scandal, I guess, would be obscure stuff like he wears shoes made in China, does business with China, and that's kind of political nerd stuff. And he says, be nice to people who aren't white. That's not really all that controversial. So it's pretty amazing how he's really been able. And he also, give him credit, he never said anything about politics until his brain was fully developed and he was in his 30s. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't speak out about social, political issues until he had formulated his opinions as a man. He didn't do it as a teenager or in his 20s. And so I admire him all the way around for how he's handled his career, how he's chosen where to go play and live and work and win championships.
Absolutely. And I think this contract gives him the opportunity to still stay in the conversation for the all-time number one greatest. Hate to do it here, but it kind of morphs into that. Here's why. What he did last year, he won a championship with the Lakers in the bubble 2 years ago. That going after 2 years, now going on three, which I gave a lot of credit to. I thought it was harder than winning it outside the bubble.
Neutral court.
I gave more respect to the bubble being more mentally difficult, being away from your family, isolation.
Oh, people wanted to give it less 100%. Gravitas. Oh, because of who it was, though. It was another chance to hate the Lakers again, and LeBron, instead of, you know, you mock them for losing, then when they win, you say their championship doesn't count. It's just a bitch move.
Fact that last year they didn't make the playoffs, even when they had something called the play-in game, which is insane. The juice box, hey, no one who can make the playoffs, literally nobody. We're going to let the last three teams who really shouldn't play in, and the Lakers couldn't even make that. So that was a little bit of a hit to him, because in order for LeBron to catch Jordan, because he's out-earned him, lapped him. He's lapped him in points, rebounds, and assist. Lapped him in playoff points, rebound, and assist. So he's got another couple more years to play. So as I look at their career averages and all of that, I still think he won't catch Mike. But as a businessman on the court and entering retirement in a couple of years, he's following the Jordan blueprint and doing it masterfully.
And I would argue that there are players who've exceeded what Michael Jordan has done over and over again. It just doesn't matter that you won all six that you got to. What about all those years you couldn't get your team to the finals? And LeBron got his – let's leave everybody else out. This is as long as we're talking about LeBron. LeBron got his team to the finals more often than Jordan and younger than Jordan. Lots of things he did. And there's a lot of times that Jordan's team didn't make it to the NBA finals. And he only got there six times. He won it six times. But, you know, when you get your team to the finals and you lose, I still think that counts.
Listen to these career averages. I hope it blows you away. And thanks for listening to our podcast. This is LeBron versus Jordan career averages first. Before we get to totals,
okay.
Averages. Jordan averaged 30.1. LeBron currently at 27.1. Rebounds, career. LeBron 7.5, Jordan 6.2. Now, how about this assist? Who do you think has more assist?
LeBron.
Per season? LeBron, 7.4 to Jordan's 5.3. Steals, much better defender. The whole debate for him being the GOAT. The steals for Jordan, 2.3 a game. LeBron, 1.6. They're identical with blocks. Career, long careers, 0.8 each. Less than one a game, both. Exactly at 0.8. And my favorite stat, minutes per game. LeBron James, 38.2. Michael, 38.3. These guys played the game almost the entire game to be considered 1 and 2 or 1 and 3 on the
all-time. You love when athletes decide to play the game. Your biggest bitch about a Tiger over the years is they didn't play golf. And you love when the athletes show up for work. And work.
Now, this is the stats that really get me going in the LeBron camp, which I'm always not in the LeBron camp. Listen to the career totals. And before we start, how many more years do you conservatively or aggressively give LeBron? How many more seasons do you think he'll play?
It's, well, because of his age, I'm going to say three.
Yeah, I'm going to say three, most likely four, because I believe in the son thing. His son's coming up, but definitely three at a minimum. So add 3 years of those averages I already gave you to this. Games played, Jordan 1,072, LeBron 1,366. Points, Jordan 34,241, LeBron 37,062. Just steamrolling by him. Rebounds, Jordan had 6,672. LeBron's over 10,000 rebounds, 10,210. Michael had a whopping 5,633 assists. LeBron's at 10,045. And people get all worked up when you say that LeBron could surpass Jordan as number one all time. He's got three more years of these stats, Tom.
And people always are always talking about how selfish the game has become, and people are shooting threes, and people have been talking about how selfish the game has become for years. And LeBron, like Magic Johnson, it wasn't always about self. He got together with friends and said, where are we going to high school? Got together with friends and said, where do you want to play? Miami, New York, L.A.? And then went to those schools or teams and won championships. It was all about team with him and teamwork and hitting the guy with the open shot. How often in his younger career were you screaming from the top of your lungs, LeBron, take the game-winning shot. Don't dish off to Boobie Gibson. How many times?
That hurt him.
Well, you thought it hurt him, and I thought it was ironic because so many people bitch about the selfishness.
Forget about hurting him, Tom. Let me stop you. Killed him. Because people on this topic, where I have an open mind, and I don't have an open mind on a lot of things in my life. I have an open mind that this is something that's evolving. When Montana, I never thought Montana would be surpassed ever as the greatest quarterback of all time. Brady not only surpassed him, he lapped him when it came to stats and championship. I thought Brady could have maybe one more than him, or even, and his stats would be skewed, but no, he went past him, went past Peyton Manning, Favre, Elway, and all of that. The only guy that can catch Jordan is LeBron. And with all the efficiency stats, the career stats, the longevity, and all of that, and the rings, he's got four, Jordan has six. So let's say LeBron gets one more, he's one behind. Jordan's nowhere near Bill Russell at 11. LeBron will have the advantage time of recency for all of us to understand that he might have been better than Jordan.
And not only that, better when he's older. I mean, that means everything. That means everything even for Hall of Fame careers. I think when you are available to work and you're available year in and year out, yeah, it's really cool every once in a while to celebrate somebody, let them into the Hall of Fame when they were just a shooting star like Kurt Warner, Terrell Davis, or Gale Sayers. But when you can show up, avoid injury, which a lot of times is given to you by the universe and your own particular physical makeup as well, and luck. But still, if you can do that, then you're far more valuable and legendary. And I don't know, has anybody ever been more valuable and legendary than LeBron James?
Well, how about this?
Probably no.
Career playoff stats, I'll just give you a couple. Games played so far. LeBron's going to play three more seasons. He did just miss the playoffs. I don't think that'll happen again. Anthony Davis is 100%. They got a new cut. They'll make the playoffs. LeBron's played 266 playoff games. Jordan, 179. And how about this crazy stat? You look at Jordan's points. He's got 5,987 in the postseason. He went 6-0 in the finals, but he played in other postseasons where put up points. LeBron has got 7,631. That goes from Cleveland to Miami to L.A. to all those places. So the amount, the longevity, the career stats, and the playoff stats, they're going to dwarf Jordan. Not pass him. They're going to dwarf him. And the only thing the Jordan fans can scream about is that he was 6-0 in the finals.
Watching LeBron James play this past season, people were only focusing on the wart on Lincoln's face and not enjoying Lincoln. He was incredible. He for his age and the numbers he was putting up and his triple doubles and his defense. And when he would take over games because he was thinking, these losers, I can't deal with these losers. And he would just take over games and win games for the Lakers. On an individual performance aspect, it was one of the most enjoyable seasons to watch LeBron James. But people weren't seeing it because they were screaming about the soap opera and the injured posse on the L.A. Lakers. And people love to say, ha, 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 they suck, the organization sucks, when really their last year was all about injuries.
LeBron should feel really good about himself. Not only the $97 million two-year extension, Jordan never made anywhere, I don't believe, close to that in his entire career. I don't think he made $97 million, and we'll edit that. It might be a little bit more, but LeBron's making that on the back 2 years of the end of his career to show you how the NBA and all sports has grown for another podcast. The fact that these guys can make $50 million a year to play quarterback, which is only 30 minutes a game. You split it with the defense. 30 minutes, and you only play 17 to 18 games, maybe a few in the playoffs. And in the NBA, you play the same amount of games, but you load manage. And Jordan and LeBron play a lot of games. LeBron's starting to miss them. Jordan was a beast. Played in every game. He tried to play almost every game. LeBron is making the conversation entertaining and eventful on and off the court. It will take him a lot to surpass Jordan with Nike in that relationship, but I wouldn't deny LeBron, Tom. I think he could do it in another platform like social media or something to do with movies or what he's doing now. He could catch Jordan for being that great of a businessman.
Oh, yeah, or just to write investments. Give JT the Brick a call and tell him what to avoid. Should he go into NFTs, JT? Should he buy a little picture of a cartoon and hold on to it?
I'm paying for two out-of-state college tuitions. Please don't bring up anything with finances.
Thank you for listening to all 30 minutes and 30 seconds of the JT and Looney podcast. What a trooper! And please remember, we are powered by our friends at Bet Online, where the game starts.
And when I say that, I really believe it.